Here we go. We really are going to try to move a lot faster today than what we did last week. We had some pretty good sized rabbits that crossed our path last week. I'm thankful we was able to run them down and shoot them and eat them. And hopefully that was a blessing to you. Amen. A lot of people says they don't like chasing rabbits, but I found out that sometimes when you're chasing a rabbit, thank you, buddy, you're chasing a rabbit, you'll get more out of that than you will just a monotone trail. Anyway, last week, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you bless this study. God, help us. We need you. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give us that what we need to be grounded and established and understanding in this book of the Bible. Help us, I pray, Lord, to be more like you. Help us to be kind. Help us to be compassionate toward each other. Help us to understand somebody may not be where we are in our spiritual growth, but then we aren't where others are. And I pray that you'll remind us of that. Touch us and use us now for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would like to say thank you for praying for Brother Bobby Drury. Whenever I've seen him, not before last, and he's doing a lot better. They was able to get the stent into his heart area, and he was alert and talkative, and everything was... seemed to be going on the uphill side. So I know if it was me in there, I would appreciate you praying. And so let's continue to pray for him, okay? And is anybody glad you're saved this morning?
Amen.
It's good to be happy about that. The Bible said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let's be glad and rejoice. But once in a while, if we're not real careful, we may have to stand in front of that mirror and say, hey, face, you need to rejoice. Because ain't nobody else believe you when you say, I'm glad. Amen. So if you're happy about it, let it show. Last week, we looked at, we started just looking at some backgrounds of this epistle. And we looked at this thought that God uses people. I'm sure you probably wrote this down. God uses people. How the gospel still works, and that the gospel always brings opposition. Always brings opposition. I'm going to have to get me a Kleenex. Hand me one of them Kleenexes there, Brother Bradley, if you would, somebody. If I don't, I'm gonna spit a peppermint on Brother Albert. And he probably don't really want all that. So we'll pass by on that, okay? So this letter to Thessalonica, is somebody coming in there? Did they just open the door to let the cold out? Or thank you, Brother Chris. Pull it to and stand there and hold it and don't let them in. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Thank you, brother. This letter to the church of Thessalonica, it has several points of attention that we need to give to it. I'm afraid that a lot of people miss what this letter is really about. And if you miss this letter right here, you're going to hurt yourself as a Christian. Number one, when you try to just maybe help somebody with it. Or number two, when somebody tries to confuse you in it. Right? So one of the points of this letter is, and it's to me, I believe it's one of the main verses in this book. The main verse in this book explains why Paul even had to come back. Paul's already been here. He's already been here. They've already done the work, and we'll look at that. But over in chapter number four, and verse number 13. Most people read this text right here, and they can't read verse 13. And really, it is hard to read verse 13 and not read all the way down through verse 18. But in verse 13, we're just going to look at that just a minute because this is one of the points of this letter. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's the subject. Okay? This letter is written because Paul has come and he's preached to these people. He's won them to the Lord. And now there's people that's come along behind them stirring up confusion and letting them know that those that have died and gone home, because since the time that Paul the apostle came and preached to these people, they've had a lot of family members to pass away. And since that time, people's come by, the Pharisees has come through and said, hey, said, your loved ones that died, they ain't got no hope. There's no hope for them, none whatsoever. Okay? And so here's what he says. He says this right here in chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. All right? When the Bible talks about sleep in a reference like this, it's talking about those that have passed away, those that have died. My stepdad started this church right here. If you wanted to use that terminology, he's in a sleep. But in all actuality, he passed away. He died. Okay? So here's that point. The point this letter is being brought about, and Paul wants these people to understand there's some things about this you need to know, and he wrote five chapters right here to let these people know that those folk that died or from the time that he came the first time to the time he came the second time, they do still have hope. Aren't you glad this morning that you and I have hope in a Savior that rose from the dead and paid the price for you and I to have eternal life? Some ought to say amen right there. So we see that Paul's giving some emphasis here. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17, and we're gonna read a few verses, and just look at some of the situations when these people came upon Paul after he's. You know, have you ever noticed this? A preacher can come in preaching. I've always said this. My dad used to say this, Brother Mike. You can win somebody to the Lord and try to start indoctrinating them and teaching them the things of the Bible. Brother Glenn, I know you remember Dad saying this here. And nobody would have ever messed with them. Nobody would have ever invited them to church. Nobody would have ever talked to them about the Lord. But you win them to the Lord and you try to get them in church. And all these people come along then and says, why don't y'all come to our church? Have y'all ever noticed that? Without fail, it'll happen. I mean, you can look up, and on Saturday morning, there'll be somebody knocking on their doors. You look up over there, there ain't nobody ever been by their house, and all of a sudden, there's two guys riding a bicycle, got white shirts on, they're over at the house over there. And they ain't never showed up, ain't never given the time of day. I'm always amazed at this, Brother Gary. How come all your life, from the time that you got saved under the ministry of Brother Zach Sizemore, you was in church, he taught you, you grew, set up under Brother Joe, you grew. God ain't never convicted you about either doctrine, either one of them men. Both of them was sound doctrine preachers. And then all of a sudden, here comes somebody saying, no, you've been wrong all along. Can I say this? If somebody can persuade you that you've been wrong on one thing, it ain't going to be long they're going to come by and say you was wrong on something else. And then you was wrong on something else. Somebody help me right here. And then you was wrong on... I can name names, folks. But I'm not in it for that. Brother Leo, I want people to know that God's Word's right. And we can depend on the Bible. You don't have to say, don't leave here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night and say, hey, my pastor, he's always right. No, you leave here and you say, the Bible is always right. Okay? Because I promise you, I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to do things wrong. And I tell you, if there's ever anything in life gives me trouble, it's coffee. Anybody else? Coffee. Coffee's easy to make. But I don't know why it is. I can take that filter out from the coffee that was made, and I can stand right over the trash can with it and turn it loose, and somehow or another, it seemed like some of it will hit half the trash can, and another, I got to go get vacuums and rags and coffee. I love it. It just gives me problems, and I'm not perfect, okay? All right, we just make mistakes. We're humans, right? Acts chapter number 17 now. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, don't you hate it when they put these names in the Bible like this here? I spent 10 minutes this morning listening to these names being pronounced over and over. I should have said just, let's look at verse 2. But he says, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as the manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Are you saying Paul wasn't telling them what he thought? No, he said he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Amen. Over 3 weeks he was with them. 3 Sabbath days, that's over 3 weeks he was with them. Okay? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. This is him, folks. This is him. Hey, Jesus, Brother Sean, Jesus says, I'm your example. Has anybody ever really looked into the life of Christ? Can I tell you, this would be a great thing for you to do before you desire to take on the attributes or the attitude or the personality of somebody else. Look at Jesus real close. Huh? Amen. Don't try to be a Brother Edward. Don't try to be a Brother Davis. Don't try to be a Brother Joe. Look at Jesus real close. Bible says that when they accused him, they said, he just looked down and said, thou sayest. And I know of preachers that literally, I mean, they're hollering and screaming and saying, let them people go to hell. Can I tell you there's something wrong with a man? There's something wrong with a man. There's something wrong with a man that don't care if somebody else goes to hell. Yes, he is. He's saying that they don't deserve the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says about him, that he was not willing that any should perish. Do you see how easy people are getting confused? Do you see how easy they're getting and all this is not about doctrine. This is not about proving something right or wrong out of the Bible. All this confusion is coming about because somebody's impressed with their powerful boldness of hatred. Of hatred? Come on. Brother Albert, if I felt like that, I'm telling you, I'd stand for the church today. And I'd tell you, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong kind of heart to be in the ministry. And I'm going to step down. Y'all just have to find y'all somebody else. David, if I had that kind of a heart, that kind of an attitude, I'd quit. I'd have no desire, Brother Danny, to try to deceive and to hurt people. You say, well, you ought not be like that. Oh, you'd want me to be like them that says that if you're not against everything they're against, that you're not even saved? Because there's people who believe that I'm not even saved. You know why? Because I don't stand up and rip and rear and snort and kick and hack and scream against a homosexual. I'm not for the homosexual life. You hear me? But you hear me? That's a wicked, vile sin. God burned up 5 cities in the Bible, Genesis chapter 19. Read it. That's not my thoughts. That's in the Bible. But I'm telling you what, every sinner that's ever walked the face of this earth, Jesus Christ died for him. He didn't specify this sin or that sin. He didn't specify that color or that color. He didn't specify this height or that height or this weight or that weight. He said, sinner. And then he said, all have sinned. I mean, how are you going to get away from that? I'm just telling you today that we're living in a sick society of world that people's using the name of Jesus Christ and claiming that they're God-called preachers when I don't even know if they're saved or not. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying by the Bible said by their fruit you'll know them. I don't know. I know this. I know the works of the flesh are these. Hatred's one of them. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, love, meekness, temperance. You know what the word temperance is? It means patience. I'm telling you what the Bible says now. Let's look on, let's go with it. He says the verse number, how far did I read down? Did I read two or through four? And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, verse 4, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the women, chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. I'd like to stop right there and say, thank the Lord. I'm glad that he is my king. Thank God. My Savior. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed also, of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul and Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. That's what's caused the problem, that Paul's had to go back to Thessalonica and to reassure these people of their salvation and the promises and of the hope that God had left with them through the preaching of the gospel. Listen, I'm not casting stones at the people of Thessalonica because they lost their faith, because me and you do the same thing. You and I get weak in our faith, and you and I sometimes will say, does the Lord still care? Does the Lord know where I'm at? Does God know what I'm going through? Yes, 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 yes. And he never did give you liberty to change. You just keep doing what you was doing before. You just keep on praying like you've been praying, and keep on singing like you've been singing, and keep on witnessing like you've been witnessing. Just keep on living for the Lord. So we see that there's a theme through this letter. Some of them folks had died, and people, the Jews, they tried to stir up the people and they tried to get them off track. But he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. So there's hope for your loved ones that have passed away. I got a text this morning, Brother Dale Cable. Some of you know who I'm talking about. He's a gentleman that I go to Cuba with on a mission trip. His dad went home to be with the Lord this morning, about 3:30 this morning. And you know what? His body will be in the ground, but one day that body's coming up. Amen. Amen. August the 20th, 1998, we laid my dad's body. He went home to be with the Lord. My stepdad went home to be with the Lord. And others of you have family. Ashley and David laid two little boys in the ground over there. And you know what? We can go by and we can visit those caskets and those tombs. We can visit the graves, and our hearts are still broken, and it's painful to think about that loss. But you know, thank God for the good news. The good news. One day, Jesus is coming. Amen. Thank God for that. So we see we had the three lessons. God's using people. God's the gospel still works, and the gospel will bring opposition. It will bring opposition. Paul and Silas witnessed this. Paul witnessed this, let's look at three purposes of this letter. There's three purposes of this letter. You can write this down. To confirm the believers in their salvation. If you're saved this morning, you ought to know you're saved. I'm honest with you. It's kind of hard to say I think I'm saved and to really believe you're saved when you don't have the assurance of being saved. Amen. I know when I got saved. And I know I ain't done everything right since I got saved, but I know this. I know I got saved. I know I got saved. Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on him. I trusted in him, Brother Darnell. That's another thing people's using to try to confuse people with. Well, did you repent? What difference does it make? Can I tell you something? God has such a knowledge. He is an all-knowing God. Tell me one thing that God don't know. He knows your heart. Is there anybody in here that thinks that you've hidden something from him? He knows your heart. If I was to ask Brother Bradley, when you got saved, what'd you say? He might say, I know or I don't know. It don't make no difference. If he says he's saved, he knows he's saved. He knows he trusted him. But I'd say this, I doubt he said what I said. And I doubt Brother Ron said what I said. And Brother David probably didn't say what I said. Brother Mike, you probably didn't say what I said. So are you telling me that God can hear anybody say anything? It's that heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. Now, I don't hear nobody saying this. Good morning. Amen. Good to see y'all. I don't hear nobody saying this. Oh, you didn't believe just right. But here's what's done. The focus is not on how you believed. They're focusing on what you did. And repentance is something that somebody does. Repentance, the word repent, is when you turn from. That's what it means. Look it up in the dictionary. All right. I turned from the world and turned to God. Now, am I wrong for doing that? What if I'd have stayed looking at the world, Brother Mike, and said, God, I know you're out there somewhere. I thought I saw you over in that bar. I thought I saw you stand on the side of the highway. Now, you know what I knew good and well where I could find the Lord? Just like you did. Just like you did. You knew he's down there at the church house. But I also knew this, that at the time I thought, Brother Larry, I had to go to church to get saved. I was 16 years old. I didn't know nothing about salvation. I thought you just had to go to church to get saved. But I found out that after I trusted in him by faith, he would change my lives. Okay? When he changed my life, he also changed my direction. And I turned and started walking another way. Okay? If you can't believe that there's been a repentant change in your life, then you don't believe in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Are you trying to tell me there's a change? Sounds like a little repentance took place, don't it? Get away. Don't listen to somebody that's trying to change what you know is right. Get away from them. Get away. If Brother Glenn Bennett, I love him. I've been going to church with him for well over 30 years. But I'm telling you, if Brother Glenn comes up to me and says, Brother Edward, I found something new in the Bible, and I want to introduce you to it, I'm going to say, Brother Glenn, you need to get yourself right with God now and get away from me till you do. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, it'll mess you up. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your your, that's what Peter said, it's your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Not help. Not be a blessing to. Not encourage, but devour. Wow. Wow. Nothing left of you when he gets done, huh? Mauled up, mangled up. Let's look. To confirm the believers in their salvation. Threefold purpose of this letter. To confirm the believers in their salvation. To condition the believers in sanctification. Now, once you get saved, when you get saved and you become a new Christian, a new person in the Lord, God's going to start doing some things in me and you. Okay? And this is that turning, changing thing. All right? Those things that I used to like to do, I don't want to do that no more. Hey, can I tell you this here? You can get backslidden as 40 devils, and you'll be back there doing the same thing you used to do and more than before you got saved. And more. Just depending on which crowd you hang around with. I want to hang around Jesus' crowd. I want to hang around church crowd, don't you? Amen. You say, are you aggravated? No, no, I ain't aggravated. Thank God, I'm glad I'm saved. I feel sorry for people that don't know when they never settled on nothing. Got something new today, folks. Well, wait a minute, preacher, you had something new last week, too. Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? I'm sorry. Well, come think of it, I had something new the week before, too, didn't I? You know what the Bible says about that? You know what the Bible says about somebody's got something new all the time? The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, he used to be saved? Oh, he used to believe that? Oh, she used to? But now, double-minded. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to warn you. This is problems that Thessalonica was facing, and Paul had to go back in there and straighten all this stuff out. So let's look on. Let's look on. He says, this letter has a threefold purpose: to confirm the believers in their salvation, to condition the believers in their sanctification, and to comfort the believers in the second coming, because Jesus is coming back. He's coming. And when do you think he's coming? I think he's coming soon. Now, your soon and my soon may not be the same. I've been hearing that he's coming, Brother Gary, since I got saved. As a matter of fact, I've got a note page in my Bible, and I didn't know this until Brother Dan McLucas, Sister Pam, started coming to this church. But the night that I got saved, Thursday night, January the 27th, 1972, the preacher was preaching on the second coming of Christ. And she made a copy out of her Bible where she had taken, Sister Pam was there. I didn't even know them. And she took notes. And she made me a copy out of her Bible where she took notes and gave that to me so I'd have the message from the night I got saved. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, you know what I'm glad, Brother Larry? I'm glad. It's still real. It's still real. You said, but that's been 46 years ago and he ain't come yet. I know, and you know what the Bible said? In the last days, there'll be scoffers that say, where's this coming? Where's this coming? I don't want to be a scoffer. I want to be an encourager. I want to be somebody that says, hey, just keep on keeping on. Don't stop, young man. Don't stop. Listen, I was young when I got saved. You're 16 now. I was 16. And you just keep on keeping on, because it may be no telling when he's coming back. But I want to be found faithful when he comes. I would be found faithful. We gotta hurry. We gotta hurry, y'all make me do stuff. Okay, threefold purpose of the letter: condition the believers in their salvation, to condition the believers in sanctification, and to comfort the believers in the second coming. Now, there's some emphasis put on in this book on the second coming of Christ, and every chapter says something about it. And so we're going to look at that real quick. The chapter one is talking about a doctrine that produces examples. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. We're talking about a doctrine that produces examples. In verse number 7, the Bible says this: so that you were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 10 says, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What a blessing. What a blessing, Brother Gary. He didn't wait to the end of the chapter to put that in. I mean, the end of the book. In the first chapter of the book, are you listening? The first chapter of the book, he says, listen, I want you to know that he made a special way for you. There is a wrath coming, but you ain't going to be in it. Now, there's some things that takes place in this book that a lot of people don't realize. There's a lot of mention of the second coming. There's a lot of mention of the advent. Okay? The second coming is when Jesus comes back for the church. All right? The advent, the second advent is when Jesus comes back and there's war. Okay? Now, whenever the Lord comes back and there's war, we're coming with him. Anybody want to come with him? You ain't got to fight. You might not be a fighter. You might not be a fighter. If you ain't, that's okay. You can be a rider. Well, I'm probably not a fighter, and I'm not a rider, okay? Me and horses, we just don't work real well together. I love to look at them, but Jeff, I wish I could have a field of 25 acres and just have horses out there just to watch them walk and graze and run. Aren't they beautiful? I mean, absolutely. And I'm telling you, we went to that thing up there at the First Baptist Church, the Easter thing they had. I'm telling you, when that fella, I mean, inside the church, this man comes out of a side door riding a white horse. I couldn't hardly contain myself. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right there. I mean, they were somebody else shouting. I know they wasn't Baptists. But wasn't it wonderful? You say, why? Just because somebody? No, to remind us that the scripture says he's coming back and he's riding a white horse and we're going to be with him. And if I'm on a horse, hallelujah, and if I just get to ride, I don't care. He'll get my time and problems straightened out. I know he knows how. Amen. Amen. Every time I got on a horse, when he was going up, I was going down, and I'm telling you, it was a sore day when it was over with. Hallelujah. So we see there's emphasis concerning the doctrine of the second coming. Chapter 2, the doctrine produces evangelism. Doctrine produces evangelism. Look in verse number 2 of chapter 2. He said, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, of course they was in jail at Philippi, right? We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. That word contention means disagreement. Them folk was against them. They say, we don't believe all of that. We don't believe all that. That's the kind of stuff I've been hearing for several months now. We don't believe all that. We don't believe that you're supposed to repent. We don't believe that you're supposed to get saved like that. What are you going to repent of? Can you believe that I heard a man that's supposed to be real smart say this? He said, how can you repent and go to heaven? He said, I can't repent of all my sins. That's exactly what he said. I thought, no wonder you can't, because you're not smart enough to realize that the main problem that you're born with is the fact that you're not born with a bunch of sins on you. You're born with a sin that come from Adam on you. Somebody help me right there. That's why, Sister Julie, that's why they're so confused. I say stay away from that crowd. Run, Brother Sean. Run, Brother Jeff. Get away from them. Brother Danny, get away from them. You've got to rightly divide the Bible. Somebody says there ain't no dispensations no more. Well, how come we got an Old Testament and a New Testament? How come the Bible says that the law was under John? What happened with all that? So now what we got? Paul said, I am a preacher of the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. Is that not what he said? Of the dispensation of the grace of God. Is that what he said? The dispense, he calls it a dispensation. Come on, man, wake up. What are we looking for? Some little... Y'all better pray for me. I really do need your prayer. I mean that. I'm not being facetious about that. I covet your prayers. The Bible says this. The Bible says this. I'm trying to stay with my text. He says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Stop it. Stop it. What's the gospel? Wait a minute. If it's the death, burial, and resurrection, where's the law? Somebody help me right here. Where's the law? He said God entrusted him and gave him the gospel. If that's the death, burial, and resurrection, where's the law? Okay. I listen to this mess way too much, probably. I know you do. Amen. He ought to be out there hoeing in the garden where he did. Thank you, Sister Debbie. Amen. I'll leave her alone, Brother Mike. But listen, if we agree on that, and we agree that we don't get saved by the law anymore, how come we're so dogmatic about the laws of the Old Testament? Well, you're looking at me like, what's next? Well, if we believe, somebody help me here now. If we believe that all the homosexuals should go to hell, if somebody would believe such a thing, how come they don't believe that you can get saved by works? Because that's what it was in the Old Testament. By offering that your own animal. Am I right? Am I right? No, you know what happened? You know what we do? People has taken church. Listen to me. People has taken church and they've taken that Bible and they put it on themselves just like they're in a shoe store. They try on whichever one they have to until they get the one that fits. And then they walk out feeling good about themselves. But I'm telling you, that Bible says that law is our schoolmaster and led us to Christ. There's typologies all in that Old Testament. We see how that a man walked with God and one day he was not, for God took him. That's a type of church right there. I'm telling you, we look at this over and over and over, and I've had them tell me, Brother Glenn, I've had them tell me, you're not even supposed to use typologies out of this Old Testament. I'm trying to warn you. This is the kind of confusion that the Apostle Paul was having to go back into Thessalonica and get these people straightened out over, because these Jews had come in there and they stirred all the believers up trying to confuse them with portions from the Old Testament with what the Apostle Paul had been preaching with them, this gospel of Christ. You see this? The Bible says that we are not to lean to our own understanding. It's real easy to say, look, this just seems right. This seems right, Brother Chris. It might seem right, but that don't mean it's right. You know what's right? The Lord Jesus Christ is what's right. The Word of God's what's right. And I'm telling you, if you'll read and you mark it down, these folk that's so twisted in all their doctrine back during that time, they didn't have it, but for this day and hour, me and you's got a Bible with 66 books in it. And that first book in that Bible is extremely important. The book of Genesis is extremely important. In that book, second book of Exodus, you can see Christ all through it. Amen. Leviticus brings forth this law laying down there. I'm telling you, you can see the works of God all through it. Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm telling you, God is prevalent in His working in the Old Testament. Here's what gets folks confused, Brother Darnell. They quit reading the Old Testament. I'll grant you this. You show me somebody that's confused on their Bible doctrine and messed up. And just like these folk in Thessalonica, I can name you two books in the Bible that they have not read thoroughly. One's the book of Jeremiah. Well, three books. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. They clarify Old Testament prophecy. Somebody please help me. Am I the only one that's read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel? You've read it. I'm telling you, God puts things in there. But if you don't never look at it, you'll forget it. You don't know nothing about it. And that's where you get tripped up. That's where you get tripped up. Right there. What was the last one I said? Chapter 3, the doctrine. We don't have time to read all these. Let's just stop. I'd rather not skip, but we got all the way through. This portion here produces evangelism. And there's three more chapters we need to look at. And then we're going to start looking at this church as the model church. Because I'm telling you, the church of Thessalonica is a gracious model church. Paul got them back on track. He got to pointing out things about them that I could say about this church, that I could say about our church. That is a model church. There's churches all over the country, folks. There's preachers. I've heard more than I can tell you about preachers that says, man, you don't know what a blessing that church down there is. And I'm not saying it definitely ain't because of me, but it's because of him. Amen. It's because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's take us a little break, and we'll start back here in just a few minutes. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be able to take these things, these words, these sayings, and, God, use them for your glory, for your honor, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.